excuse me, I thought we was going to go one way, but obviously we're going back on thinking about with the mind and stuff like that. Amen. Kind of got that more today. And I'm a little different than other pastors, if y'all haven't noticed. You know, number one, I really enjoy having fun. Absolutely enjoy that. But sometimes, you know, if he tells me to play something over the microphone, I'm going to play it. Amen. Amen. Because if I'm getting stuff out of it, I know it's not just for me. I know it'll actually help other people. Amen. If we'll receive it. Amen. And that kind of goes a lot back to the customs. Well, nobody's ever did that before. Why are you doing it? Well, that's not how you're supposed to pastor. Well, how are you supposed to pastor? Amen. Yeah. Best way to do it. Amen. Because I don't think there's a handbook on how you're supposed to pastor. Excuse me. Amen. So we'll just be led and do what God wants us to do. That way we stay right and get everything out of it. Amen. Well, I'll pray we'll get into it. Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you, and magnify your holy name. And we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to gather around your word with like believers. Hallelujah. To be able to feed our faith on the word of God. Amen. To be able to feed our spirit, man, on the word of God. I thank you, Father God, that it's not my will this evening. It's not what Ricky wants. But I thank you, Father God, that everything that you would have, not only for this congregation, but also for me. I thank you, my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truths from your word that I didn't plan on saying, but that it will help us and encourage us and inspire our faith and feed our faith. And I thank you, Father God, that we will continue to walk in the light that we've already received on the matter of the mind and thinking. But I thank you, Father God, for further light. Because once you receive light, you qualify for more light. And so, Father God, I thank you for it. I give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said amen. 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 Hallelujah. I'm just going to touch a couple things that we talked about. I think it was last Wednesday. One thing I said was some people consider their circumstances rather than the word. And then faith says about itself everything the word says. Amen. So faith says about itself everything that the word says. Amen. Wrong thinking, wrong believing, and wrong talking will defeat you. The devil can't defeat you because Jesus has already defeated the devil for us, right? Yes. Amen. Satan doesn't defeat us. We defeat ourselves. Or if he does, we permitted him to do so. And it's a consent of ignorance. Right? Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, what are you talking about? Well, if we're healed, like I said, you know, last week, if we're healed, and then all of a sudden you might have a pain or something, and then you kind of start going, well, I thought I was healed. Well, now you're questioning it. Now doubt has came in to where your faith has already left. Because now you're saying, well, I know I was fully healed, but I don't know if I'm healed still. I think I lost my healing. Well, you can't lose your healing. You can, but I'm saying you can't. If you stay in faith, you can't lose your healing. There's no such thing as losing a healing. Satan come and steal it from you, and you consent to it. Yes. And it's a consent of ignorance, right? Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to be talking about that. Turn over to Philippians 2:5, please. We got the easy read. Pull it up in the Passion first, and then we'll do the easy read, please. And consider the example that Jesus, the anointed one, has set before who?
Us.
Let his mindset what?
Become your motivation.
Whose mindset?
Ours.
Jesus' mindset become our motivation. Amen. Pull it up in the easy read, please. In your life together, thinking the way Christ, Jesus, what? So thinking the way who thought?
Jesus thought.
Amen. So we don't have any business adapting the ways of the world, the way the world thinks. We don't have any reason to adapt the way Satan thinks, right? Amen, because right here it tells us in your life together, think the way Christ Jesus thinks, right?
Yes.
Amen. Turn over to 1 Peter 3:10, please. Do we have the living? We do have the living. All right. You can pull it up in the living first, please. After you have suffered a little while, our God, who is full of kindness through Christ, will give you his eternal glory, his personal will. He personally will come and pick you up and set you firmly in place and make you a stranger, make you stronger than ever. Amen. 3:10. Please. Yeah, I was wondering what I was reading again, but I was going to read it. I was committed. If you want a happy, good life, do what?
Keep control of your
what? And guard your what?
Lips.
From doing what?
Lies.
Amen. Amen. What else? The NIV, please. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from what? And their lips from deceitful speech. What's deceitful speech? Lies. So if you're healed, then you have a pain or something, and you say, well, I thought I was healed, or I lost my healing. Are you being deceitful?
Yes.
Are you lying?
Yes,
you are. You're consenting to something that does not belong to you. Because anybody with one eye and good sense knows if a person is healed of cancer, seriously, if a person is healed of cancer, then they're fully healed of cancer. So a week later, if they have cancer, was they healed of cancer? Yes, they were healed of cancer, but they allowed it back in somehow, maybe in their thought life. Because Satan cannot make you think about something. He'll suggest something to you, and then if we grab onto it, y'all remember we listened to that, what Brother Hagin said last week, right?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. If he said, you know, I almost touched it, but he said, I let it go immediately. I wouldn't grab it with my mind. My mind tried to pick it up, but I wouldn't let it. Why? Because he knew. He knew the outcome of thinking about things, just thinking about things. Because if you sit there and meditate, because Joshua tells you to meditate is doing what? It's thinking, right?
Yeah.
So to meditate is to what?
To think.
So meditate is to what?
Think.
Okay, at least some of y'all are getting it. So to meditate, you're doing what?
Think.
You're thinking. What does Joshua tell you? Joshua 1:8. Meditate on the word. And what's it going to do for you? Pull it up, please. Let's look at it. Amen. Joshua 1:8, King James, please. This book of the law shall not depart out of where? But thou shalt do what? Think on it therein day and night. That who? That me, or you, may observe to do according to what? To all that's written where, though?
In the word.
Have you read the word and have you seen what's written in the word?
Yes.
I don't think we fully have yet. Because we're not meditating on it. Because if we were, we would see everything come to pass. And we would be doing everything in it. Because Jesus said, everything I see the Father do, I do, right? And then he said, whatever I do, you can do as well, right? He told us that. So if we're meditating on the word, on what he did, because, I mean, the Bible tells us this or not. So meditate therein day and night that thou, hallelujah, mayest observe to do according to all, say all, that is written where?
Therein.
Where is therein?
In
the word. Amen. So we need to just let ourselves know that we may observe to do according to all that is written in the word of God. For then, when though? After we've been meditating on it day and night. Because look at people that are sick or are just dealing with depression. What got them to the depression? Thinking on, nobody loves me. I'm all by myself. I can't believe, look, I used to have a friend. I don't anymore. What got them to the depression? Meditating. Satan knows that if he can get you to meditate on his stuff, that it'll work for you, just like God said, look, you meditate on my word and observe to do everything that I said to do in it. Meditate on it day and night. Then. Meditate on it day and night. Then. Not before then and not ever. But as soon as we start meditating on the word of God day and night, it's not saying stay up 24 hours a day. Y'all get that? But every chance we got, because if you really think about it, or look, pay attention throughout the day, our mind just starts going everywhere else. So if my mind's wanting to think on something else, why don't I just grab a hold of it, bring it back and say, shut up, you're going to meditate on this word of God right now. Well, how do I meditate on the whole Bible? Well, I don't know. You can't. But if you get a scripture... But if you get a scripture and just stay on that for a few days, say, you know what? I'm just going to meditate this scripture right here for a while. Brother Kenneth Copeland, I was listening to him, I believe it was last year when I heard him say it. He told God, he said, you know what? He said, whenever I read the Bible, I won't just blow through it. He said, I'll take each scripture and I'll meditate on it for a little while before I move to the next scripture. And so he's going along. And he's going to a church service. He's in the front seat. And God said, well, I thought you said you'd meditate on the scripture and not just blow through it. He goes, well, you know, I got to preach tonight. You know, I'm heading to church right now. He said, yeah, but what did you tell me? He said, all right, I'm sorry. I'll back up. He said, and so I started meditating. It was like, I really don't remember what he was meditating. But he got on the first scripture, meditated it. He said that he preached an hour or an hour and a half on one verse just from meditating it because of the light that God brought forth to him from that scripture, just from meditating on it. So what do you think just meditate? See, we could do the whole Bible, but what do you think one scripture will do for us? Because, I mean, we're meditating on something. Oh, I can't pay my bills. I can't afford this. I can't afford that. I don't know what we're going to do next month. I mean, we might have paid it today, but I don't know how we're going to pay it then. We constantly meditate on that until the next month comes. We're all depressed, shriveled up, worried, got ulcers on the inside from worrying so much that we don't even know what to do if we're coming or going at this point. And then people look at you and you're just... What's the matter? I don't even know if I can pay my bills next month. We ain't even there yet. Why did you allow that meditation to take you to next month when you're not even there? You're on this month. The bills are paid, so why are you afraid about that? Pull it back up, please. Do observe. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written where? In the word of God. Right? In the Bible. Right? In the word of God. For then. Thou. Who is thou? Say me. For then thou shalt make thy way what? And then thou shalt have what? Another translation says, and thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt deal wisely in the affairs of life. Amen. What's the affairs of life? Everything that you deal with every day. Deal wisely in the affairs of life. So see, God made a way for us. He's made a way for us to live a victorious life every single day. But if I'm over here in the arena of worry, of I don't know what we're going to do, everybody's sick, I don't know what's going on with this sickness. Well, if we meditate that so long to where it went from a little molehill to a mountain. And now we got to figure out how to speak to the mountain. The mountain wasn't there a few days ago, but we meditated on it until it became a mountain. Amen. Amen. Where was we at before we went to Joshua? Okay, let's go back there, please. For he, is that the King James? Will you pull up the NIV, please? For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from what?
Evil.
And their lips from what?
Deceitful speech.
Deceitful speech. From lying. From saying things that don't belong to you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Pull it up in the, what was the other one? The easy read? No, the Amplified. Classic. The classic Amplified. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see what?
Good days.
Good.
Amen.
Good what?
Whether apparent or not.
What does that mean? It means it doesn't matter what it looks like.
Amen.
Or how you feel. It doesn't matter what it looks like.
Amen.
It does not matter. Regardless of what's going on right here in front of your eyes. Your eyes is another part of your senses. And we ain't moved from our senses. We're moved by what?
Faith.
Good, whether apparent or not, keep his tongue free from what?
Evil.
And his lips from what?
Lies.
Treachery or deceit. Amen. Let's turn over to Philippians 4, please. Philippians 4, about verse 8. Will you pull it up in the Message first, please? Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds,
filling your minds,
and meditating on what?
Things
true. Things
true.
We could stop right there.
Yep.
On things true.
Yep.
But you don't understand. No, I understand there are problems and there are situations, but is it true? On things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, say the best.
The best,
the best say the best.
The
best, say the best.
Best.
Not the what?
Worst.
Y'all remember Pastor Chelsea was preaching Sunday, and she said, was that you? That said, you'll have all the kids. You'll have the kids and everybody dead before you even get, before, what was it again?
Yeah.
Like, you get you'll have them dead and buried before they're even there, just from, because they haven't called you in an hour or something like that, if we allowed our mind to go that way. Right? Because, you know, it's like somebody says, I'm going to run to the store. I'll be right back. And they're not right back. The first thought is, oh, they probably had a wreck. So this helps us. Because the best, things that are true, that's not true if they had a wreck. You don't know that. The Spirit of God on the inside of you, if you're sensitive at all, let you know if something is going on.
Yes.
Well, I was talking to Chelsea a few years ago. I think it's after I had my knee surgery. I was there in Oklahoma with my mom and dad, and I was sitting in the back seat, and I was talking to her. I was on the phone. She was on the phone. I was going to Tulsa with my mom and dad, and it's when we had that gray Navigator. And she's driving along, and we're just talking, and all of a sudden, phone just dies. But I knew instantly on the inside of me, I said, she just had a wreck. And my parents were like, what? I said, Chelsea just had a wreck. I know it. Really? How do you know? I just know it. I just know it. And she called me back. She said, hey, I just wrecked. Somebody just pulled out in front of me. Yep. Spirit of God on the inside of you will let you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when he does let you know, not to go into panic and fear mode.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
You got to be able to control it. Don't let fear take over.
Amen.
Compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Amen. Pull that up in the, we don't have the God's Word translation, do we? Hang on, I got it. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts on whatever is right or deserves praise, things that are true, honorable, fair, pure, acceptable, or commendable. But I like the part where it said, finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts.
Yes.
Keep your thoughts. Keep your thoughts on whatever is pure. Not whatever, well, you know, everything's going down. We're paying, watch, we're going to have to be paying $8 a gallon here pretty quick. Who cares? Is God your supplier or not? Well, you better go buy an electric car. If I'm buying an electric car based off of what the gas prices are, I'm not doing it out of faith. I'm doing it out of fear at this point. Hallelujah. That was good. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. Because either we have a source or we don't.
Amen.
Amen. Either we have a source or we don't. That's the thing. Amen. Let me read this to you real fast. You can't help who may knock on your door, but you can help who you invite in and entertain. I looked the word entertain up. You ever looked that up? I looked it up in the Noah Webster. It says, to receive into the house and treat with hospitality. To keep in one's service. To engage the attention and retain the company of one. Let me read that one again. To engage the attention and retain the company of one by agreeable conversation. By agreeable conversation. So Satan will suggest something. That's him knocking. If we let it in and start entertaining it, meditating on it, we just gave it consent. Amen. Amen. All right. Now this might be about 8-9 minutes long. Are y'all okay with that? All right. It's really interesting. It takes him a little bit to explain it, but it's really good. Brother Hagin's talking about when Jesus appeared to him, he started explaining to him about this lady that he knew and about a thought. She got a thought. And he said it was the craziest thing. He said it's like I could see her standing there. beat him up, Mike, he's coming for me. He said it's like she was standing there, and he said it was like she was see-through. It's like she was glass, he said. And he said it's like a little black dot started in her mind, like the size of a quarter. What? That one? That one? Not? Yes. 10:4. He could have just told me that. I'd have listened. He said it was just a little thought. And then it started here, though. He said, and then she resisted it, told Satan to leave. And then it kept coming back, the thought, until she finally grabbed it. And he said it went from here until it got down in here, in her heart. Right? But it's interesting to me how Satan does that, though. He'll bring a thought, and then sometimes if it's a crazy thought of something, he'll be like, look, I'm not saying anything. Let's just say, like, Satan will bring somebody a thought like, oh, I wonder what she looks about. What he or she looks like naked, right? And then all of a sudden that thought will hit you, and then all of a sudden Satan will come up and believe, I can't believe you're a Christian thinking something like that. And then try to accuse you about thinking about something, that a thought that he tried to give you. That's how he is. Because look, if Satan came up and said, hey, I'm Satan, I'm going to give you some crazy thoughts today. Good luck. We would know to resist him. We would know immediately. He's not just going to show everybody, hey, I'm Satan. Y'all get ready. Here I come. Because we would know to resist him. But if he comes up without us really paying attention, because he's a snake, right? That's how he deceived Eve. Let me play this, because that way we can leave on time.
How the devil will get a hold of people, even Christians, if they'll let him. Now, you see, we need to realize this, see, that he's talking about two different things, how the devil gets a hold of people in general, and then even Christians, if they'll let him, or, in other words, permit him. Now, that means the devil can't unless you permit him. But that means that you can permit him. In other words, you're not, even though we're saved, blood washed, and spirit filled, that doesn't mean that we're just automatically immune. Some people just seem to think that, you know, just sort of automatically. No, the devil can't do that. Well, no, he can't. If you know your rights and privileges and know how to take your place, he can't.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Just like in the natural, a lot of things can't happen if you don't know how to stand against it, you know. I mean, termites can't destroy your house if you know how to spray against them and, you know, and so on, destroy them. Isn't that right? But if you don't know that, they can. Amen. Isn't that right? And so that, I'm afraid, you know, that that's happened in Christendom, that people just thought, well, I'm automatically safe, you know, I'm just, you know, and didn't stand against the devil, and he's had a holiday, so to speak, in their lives. So, in this vision, when Jesus said, I'll show you how the devil will get a hold of people, even Christians, if they'll let him, then in the vision, I saw a woman. I immediately recognized the woman. I didn't know her personally. I'd met her one time. Somebody introduced me, and I just shook hands with her one time. So therefore, you wouldn't say that she was very intimately acquainted with the person. I had heard her sing a number of times at conventions, so I knew who she was. And I'd met her husband and was a little more, conversable with him. And she and he were in the ministry for, I guess, 25 years.
She was in the ministry for 25 years. All right.
And I knew that. Very outstanding evangelist. And then had accepted a pastorate. Now, when I saw her, I knew who she was. Like I said, only one time was I introduced to her and shook hands with her, and that's my acquaintance with her. I had heard that she had left her husband and that, but gone off with some other man. That's about the extent of what I'd heard. Now, Jesus said, see, when I saw the woman, I recognized her, and who knew. He's showing me, using that as an illustration, how God gets a hold of, how the devil gets a hold of people, even Christians, if they'll let him. He said, this woman, he narrated the story, and then I saw it unfold. This woman was my child, in the ministry, and was greatly used of God, you see. But he said, the devil came one day and sat upon her shoulder, and then I saw this little imp. Sometimes I say like, and maybe I shouldn't use that word, because it's small like a little monkey, and yet doesn't exactly look like a monkey. You know what I mean? When I say it's monkey-like, I meant a size-like. And he just called him a little imp. Came and sat upon her shoulder. I saw him sitting on her right shoulder. And you know, instead of getting the spiritual import of what's said, see, here comes a fellow to me more than once and said, "Well, Hagin, is there any significance of that imp sitting on her right shoulder?" Well, no, if there had been, he'd have said so. It just happened that way, see. And they miss entirely the spiritual aspect of it by getting tangled up with some little technicality. You know, folks do that with the Bible all the time. Bless God, they miss the real meat and spiritual blessing of the Bible, tangled up over some technicality. Where did Cain get his wife? What difference does it make where he got his wife anyhow? I'm not interested in Cain's wife. I got one of my own. Hey, man, are you listening to me? All kind of excuses, you see. Like one fellow said one time, this is a true story, you know. He came, "Well, I can't get saved." He said, if you can tell me, show me from the Bible," and of course, to an intelligent person, you could show them. You can't help fools. But, it's very easy. It's where Cain got his wife. I mean, very simple if you just read it. But he said he couldn't be saved because, if you could show him from the Bible where Cain got his wife, why, he'd get saved, you know. Well, 2 weeks after he's talking, that fellow ran off with another fellow's wife. It wasn't Cain's wife that bothered him at all. It was the other man's wife. He's just using that. I tell you, these folks that are so technical-minded, always hollering about these technicalities, if you'll just observe them and watch them a little bit, you'll find out that's not what bothers them at all. The thing that's bothering them, they're in disobedience to God, and they're trying to lay it off on something else. Amen. Don't shout me down now, just because I'm preaching real good. Amen. Praise the Lord. So there's no significance about the demon sitting on her left, on her right shoulder. And so he said this spirit came, this little imp, this demon came, sat upon her right shoulder and whispered into her ear, "You're a beautiful woman." She was. He didn't lie to her. You know, Satan is a liar, but a lot of what he says is so. Yes. Amen. Isn't that true? You remember those, we looked that up. Remember that little maiden down there that told fortunes for a living, you know, down there in Philippi in the 16th chapter of Acts? You know, the Bible said she followed Luke's writer, you know, and he said she followed us many days. Right out on the street and said, "These men are servants of the Most High God." So she followed us and she followed.
Sorry.
Men are. And she followed us many days.
I tried to fast forward.
Out on the street said, "These men are servants of the Most High God who have come hither to show us the way of salvation." Everything she is saying, so how did she know that? By that demon spirit that was in her. Soothsaying, says, fortune telling. She knew that. See? But who wants the devil testifying for him? See? Well, now what that devil was saying was so. See, that don't mean the devil was right just because what he said was so. See, the devil is the liar. Bible said so. But if he always lied every time, he wouldn't get too many people taken in.
Yeah.
See, but he'll come, see, with part lying, part truth, you see. But now then, really, on this case, about everything he said was so. He said, "You're a beautiful woman." She was. She was. I'd say more outstanding than you take any 100 women, put them together and put her with them. She'd be more beautiful, I think, than any one of them. She was a very outstanding, very beautiful woman. Then secondly, he said, "You've been robbed in life." Now that was a lie, all right, and yet there's some truth there. He said, "You've been robbed in life. In the world," because she was a marvelous singer. Marvelous singer. Man, she could just hold a crowd of 5,000 in her hand like that. Absolutely. And there's no doubt but what in the world she could have made it big singing, you know, in nightclubs and so on and so forth. See, you've been robbed in life. In the world, you could have had fame, popularity, and money. Now, that's true. She could have. There's no doubt about it. Because, you see, now then, she's out there in the nightclub singing. with another man, you see, and left her husband, and she does have popularity. She does have fame. And she does have more money than she did when she's with her husband in the ministry. You see? Do you ever stop to think about it? The Bible said concerning Moses that when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction, that's test, trials, with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Did you notice he didn't say, the Bible doesn't say there's not any pleasure in sin?
Yeah.
In fact, he just got through saying there was.
Yeah.
But he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches, glory to God. And he chose rather to suffer tests and trials with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See? And so the devil said, you're a beautiful woman. You've been cheated in life and robbed in the world. You could have had fame, fortune, popularity. And Jesus narrated the story. He said, but she was my child and she knew the word. And she said, get thee behind me, Satan, in Jesus' name. And I saw him run off and leave her. And he said, for a season, Satan left her. But by and by, he came back again. The same spirit. You know that devil is persistent. If you could get Christians to be as persistent as the devil and demons are, we'd all be successful. And he'll come right back with the same tale. Yes, come right back with the same story. And by he came again, sat upon her shoulder. I could see it as it happened, you see. And said, you're a beautiful woman. In life, you've been cheated and robbed. In the world, you could have had fame, fortune, and popularity. But again, she said, I rebuke you, Satan, get thee behind me. And I saw him run off and leave her. And Jesus narrated the story. So Satan left her for a season. But by and by, he came again, sat upon her shoulder. Began to whisper in her ear, you're a beautiful woman, but you've been robbed in life and cheated. In the world, you could have had fame, popularity, money. And he said, this time she began to entertain his thinking because she liked to think I'm beautiful. Well, she was beautiful. You know, the Bible said Satan was lifted up in pride because of his beauty. Go back there and read that, you see, in those scriptures I gave you. Amen. But she liked to think that. And she liked to think, well, I've been robbed. I've just been cheated. And she began to think like that. Now then, let's stop long enough to take just a little side excursion. We could spend a long time here if we had the time. I don't think we have just now. And how did he get in? See, here's a Christian. The devil's not inside her, in her spirit. How did he get in? Through her thinking.
Interesting, ain't it? In the ministry for 25 years, an evangelist. But he was able to gain access through thinking, through thoughts. And so then we wonder, why I've been talking about it, it's good. It's even excellent for me to even get back on it and to get back into it. Amen. Because thoughts, even though she was a minister for 25 years, just the thoughts. And you heard him. He said she resisted it a few times, but he had come back. You know, you are beautiful. You know, you do. You should be out there with fame and fortune. I'll finish telling it for you. He said, well, that's after that part. He said, then I could. He said, it's like I could see her and she was glass. He said, and as soon as she grabbed hold of that thought, he said, I could see a black dot that formed about the size of a nickel in her head, in her brain, thinking it. He said, and then she just continued to think it long enough, meditate on it, until it dropped down in her spirit. And she ended up leaving her husband and went off and got with actually five different guys and stuff and sang in nightclubs and everything like that. You know, and I'm not talking against her at all because, I mean, it could happen to anybody if they don't resist Satan and the thoughts. It could. Amen. But thank God for the Holy Ghost helping us, right? Leading us and showing us in the Word what to think on. What actually to think on. Amen. So if we're always thinking about the economy, always thinking about what the president's doing and all the, I know we talk about them a lot, but it's too easy to get like the world and get our mouth on that, and then it's going to affect us. It's going to affect our health. It's going to affect our finances. And why? Why allow something that small to do that? You know, so if we're always worrying and thinking about that kind of stuff, not why? Think on the word. Think on something good. Well, what can I think on? Well, thank God you're living today. Thank God you're alive and you're breathing air today. Thank God you can drive a car to work because it's hotter than the hubs of hell outside right now. I don't know if any of y'all been out there. Good God. Thank God we got cars we can drive. We ain't got to ride a bicycle or walk. Amen. Thank God that we have a family. Or thank God we have a house. We could be thankful for a lot of stuff that we take for granted sometimes. Amen. So just make sure we're thinking on those and don't get into that trap, right? It's 8:07. Y'all mind if I take y'all just real quick? Turn over to Matthew 3:13, please. You can pull it up in the King James. It's fine. Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto who?
John
the Baptist. John, to be baptized of him. Next. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for this is becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God ascending like a dove and lighting on him, upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, what?
This is my beloved Son. You my
Did John hear that?
Yes.
Did John hear that?
Yes.
He did, didn't he? Turn over to Matthew 11, please. Verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison, where's John at?
Prison.
The works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come? I wonder what got him to that place. Because he just baptized Jesus. He said, oh, you're the Son of God. Don't let me baptize you. You baptize me. He said, no, we got to fulfill Scripture. Baptize me. And then he heard a voice saying, this is my what?
Son.
Beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then John got put in a situation where times got a little hard. And probably started thinking about, man, is it God? Is that Jesus? Man, I don't even know. I don't know what's going on. You know, I wish he had helped me if it was Jesus. Maybe we need to go find Jesus so he can get me out of prison.
Yeah.
Then he sent his disciples, hey, go see if that is Jesus. Go ask him.
Yeah.
Situations will make you change sometimes if you allow them. Because he heard God say, this is my beloved Son. He heard him say, this is Jesus. This is my beloved Son.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, he just changed.
Yes.
I don't know if it is or not. Amen. All right, we'll stop there. It's 8:10. Amen. Father God, we love, thank you, praise you, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God.